Hey, welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend, Milan Jurkovic, and your phone calls here today on New Life Live.
I really appreciate your show. It's been a big blessing to me.
I have two teenage boys. Maybe for a couple weeks it'll be okay, and then all of a sudden we slip up again.
Whoa. Can you translate what all of a sudden means?
After I sobered up, I wasn't numb enough to drown out what was aggravating me with my mother.
Okay.
That's well put, by the way.
In my heart, I don't think that it's important enough to tell her.
Well, if it's not important enough to tell her, are you sure it was important enough to divorce?
You know, sometimes we only think there's two options.
Is that because you were clueless in that time?
You know, that is a very good possibility.
This is one of the prices of boundaries.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to that new live program that we're on right now. Glad you're with us today. Dr. John Townsend and Milan Jurkovic here. Hey, guys.
Hey, guys. Steve. How are you?
Good. And we've got a great program because we're going to be talking about difficult conversations. And, you know, I think about people that maybe would be alive today if someone had been able to have a difficult conversation. Like Michael Jackson, you know, if somebody had been able to have a difficult conversation, hey, you're a drug addict, buddy. You need to change your life. You've got to do something here. Or, you know, Elvis Presley. Or we see it all the time. These guys that have everything but nobody around them to have a difficult conversation. Now, you just take that down to the level of everybody else. Well, what are we doing? Because somebody doesn't know how to have a difficult conversation with us. John, you wrote the book. Talk to us about it.
Well, Steve, you know where the book came from?
You and Henry.
Well, yeah, but there was a context, is that we would be given all these boundary seminars, and people would come up and say, you know, after the seminar, we'd lectured 8 hours, and somebody'd say, so how do I do this stuff? And we'd say, well, you know, we just lectured for 8 hours. Yeah, that's really appreciate the principles. How do I do this stuff? And we'd say, well, you know, look at point three about the 10 laws of boundaries or whatever. Yes, really nice. How do I do this stuff? Now, you have to understand, Henry and I are clinical psychologists, and so we understand these nuances, these little gray areas of people's lives, and we realize what they were saying. How do I do this stuff? Mm-hmm. We were giving principles, and these people had no life experience or script or anything in their head where you sit down and speak the truth in love. So we thought, well, this can't be. So we saw all the ways that people have to have a tough talk at work or with their spouse or somebody they're dating or their family or their kids or friends or whatever about anything, hurt, irresponsibility, control, a problem in communication, and we thought, they don't know the words to say. So it was a book of scripting actual conversations that you can go, now you say this, and he says this, and you say this, and he says this, because people don't have the skill in our culture, the skill in our culture. Now, Milan's nodding his head in here, so what were you thinking?
Well, the Jesus said the pupil cannot rise above his teacher, but when fully trained, he'll be just like his teacher. So if our parents never modeled for us, which is our principal place of learning, how to listen, how to talk, how to come to somebody and appeal, the faith that I have something inside of me that's worth being heard, the faith that you will hear me, and that you have something that is of significance toward me back. That's all modeled, and if that was never modeled, how would we ever know how to do that? So that's what the body of Christ is to learn how to do this stuff.
Mm-hmm. And you know, difficult conversations are risky and often painful. And if you're risk averse and pain avoidant, it's going to be hard for you. You need all the help you can get.
But I've got an incentive for our listening audience, Steve.
What is it?
What's it going to cost you not to do this?
Yeah. Maybe everything. Maybe the whole relationship it's going to cost.
Right.
Or as my wife says, pick your pain.
Pick your pain. That's right.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take a break. We'll come back for this Friday focus on difficult conversations. It's a great skill to have. And if you've avoided them, maybe you'll leave this hour with a few tips on how to have that difficult conversation that you need to have. Joining me today in the studio, Dr. John Townsend. He's the author of the book. And Milan Jurkovic, the author of How We Love. We'll take this break and come back with your calls right after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Okay, we're back. Let's go to Jenny from Washington, D.C. WAVA is the station. Hi, Jenny.
Hello, how are you?
Great. Speak right up there, Jenny, so we can hear you all the way from Washington,
sure.
D.C.
Sure. I'm on the sill, so yeah.
Okay.
Can you hear me better?
Yes, we can.
Okay. So I have one of those very difficult conversations that I have been putting off for the longest.
Okay. What happened? What do you need to talk about? To whom do you need to talk?
All right. So what I need to talk about is about unfaithfulness to my husband.
Mm. You have a lot of emotion about this, Jenny.
Yes.
Okay.
It's been hard.
You know, it's been totally so hard.
Mm-hmm. Okay, tell us what it is that you need to deal with.
Okay, so what I need to deal with is, is it correct to say it? It has been a while. It has been about 9 years. No, 10 years, actually, when it actually happened. But I believe, you know, the devil has been accusing me all this time, but I was not, I was a Christian. I was born in a Christian home. But I was never, I never came close to God until maybe, I would say, 4 years ago. So I got married. My husband is a Christian husband.
Okay, so tell us what it is that you need to say.
So what I need to say to you guys is, I don't know if it's correct to, since it's been a long time, to have the conversation or how to have it or to not have it.
Okay.
Well, but Jenny, God's design for marriage, the ideal is all of you knows all of me, and all of me knows all of you. Now, that's the ideal, and sometimes a marriage is better because they don't do that if the marriage is fragile and would break apart if you know everything. But if you and he love each other, and he was unfaithful 10 years ago, and you've never talked about that with him, then I think you have a conversation, because that is one of the deepest wounds that a person can have. And I think that if he's a good man, it will make your conversation better and your relationship better, because all of you will be known by all of him.
Exactly, and I have actually, I did confess to my mom. She advised not to, because he was going to be, you know, too hurt, and maybe he was going to leave, or, you know, she started coming up with, you know, ideas that could happen, and but I still, it's like, even her saying that, I still have conversations with her, I still feel like, now that I'm closer to God, I'm thinking, it's like something is pushing me to, you know, that I'm not at peace with myself.
How long have you been married, Jenny, to your husband?
It's been 14 years.
Okay. And probably there was pain in your relationship. Probably there was pain 10 years ago when you had an affair and you thought you were going to find something in somebody else's arms. So there was pain at some level.
Yes, I can tell you that. When I was a child, I was sexually abused.
Yeah. So I think what's important here is for you to keep in mind, see, John and Steve are suggesting to you that, you know, what's healthy. But there's another thing that's really important. You're not going to be at all at peace until you do something here, because this has been bothering you a long time, and you have to pay attention to our Holy Spirit inside, who's prompting you, and you need to trust Him that as He is using your conscience to want to confess this, because there's freedom in our conscience when we confess, and even though there could be consequences, you cannot mitigate possible consequences from your husband. You can't.
Yeah.
But there is a heartfelt need on your part to do something about it, and I'd pay attention to that.
I would pay attention to it, too. The one exception I would make, Jenny, is if you think that this would end the relationship and you have truly changed and grown and repented and all that, if you're a changed person, but at the same time you think that it would blow up the marriage, I probably wouldn't do it.
Yeah, and I would say there are consequences, or there are results of telling and results from not telling.
Right.
Oftentimes, we do convince ourselves not to tell because we think the person's reaction is going to be blow up and divorce. And I'm with John. If you know that's going to be the reaction, for instance, yesterday, if he said to you, you know, I love you, but if I ever find out that you had an affair 10 years ago, I'm out this door. Well, okay, not good advice for you to tell him. But if you're going to tell him, I don't think you should just one evening over dinner make this confession. I think your best shot is to say to your husband, I would like us to get into some counseling where we can grow closer together. And then I think in the context of that counselor with a third party there to help you and help him, then you reveal it. To me, there's a greater chance of success from this if it's in a better context than just one day you break down crying and you tell him, and now what does he do? That's just my belief about revealing. And I think when guys come back from every man's battle, even then, you need to share, but you need to share in a context that's going to provide the greatest chance that the marriage would continue.
Yeah, you look at Ephesians and it says, speak what is beneficial. Now, you're not lying to not tell him.
Right.
And if you think that you and he can grow through this, that's one thing. But I think Steve has very, very good counsel about make sure that you've got a third party involved. Make sure it's not just about your own discomfort. You know, where we all, you know, just so I'll feel relief. This is not about feeling relief. You can get that from confession to God, to other people. Make sure it's about you and he. By the way, you mentioned you were sexually abused, so we never want to not pay attention to that. We're going to leave you on the line so that you can be talking to our people about reporting, because there may be something reportable there. We just never can't. We can't not touch that, Jenny.
I'll tell you, there aren't many conversations more difficult than the confession of an affair. John, any other little tip that you could give us here along the way on a difficult conversation, and what's the best way to have one?
Well, a lot of times if we don't have it, then we blow up and have this kind of resentful talk. I think the best difficult conversations are one where we have sat down with somebody who's safe, who cares about us, and really do our homework. What do I want to achieve in this conversation? Do I want somebody to see a problem? Do I want a better teamwork? Do I want someone to close who's alienated from me? Do I want somebody to admit a wrong? But what do I want to achieve, and how am I going to do it? So once you've walked in there and done that, then you can go into the conversation not so anxious and kind of feeling like out of control, because you've sort of like done your due diligence.
Okay, good point. Now,
Steve,
I'll send her the book. Yes, Mylon.
Well, I was going to say a very similar point. and to agree with both of you, this is important. We have to really plan. If we're going to have a difficult conversation, we have to plan it. Mm. I planned for 2 years a conversation that my wife had with her dad. Mm. We role-played it. I played her dad. She wrote letters. We drafted it and redrafted it. It was a two-year event to prepare for this conversation, and it went well. But we worked really hard, mm-hmm. Even for my wife developing the adult voice to be able to speak to her dad. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important for us to realize you just can't have a blow-up, haphazard kind of a discussion that is going to at all do well. It has to be well managed with a third party or planned well in advance.
Yeah. I mean, think about the person on the other end receiving your difficult conversation. Are they seeing some maniac yell and scream at them? That's not redemptive. Or are they seeing somebody that cares about them, who believes in truth and love and relationship, who knows what they're going to say? Then the odds are a lot better this person's going to go, you know, this is not easy, but you're for me. So the planning is important.
Okay. All right. Hope that helps. I'll send you the book, How to Have That Difficult Conversation. I think it's going to be a great one for you. And now let's go to, how about Catherine from Fort Washington, Maryland. Catherine, you're on with John Townsend and Mylon Yurkovich, Steve Arterburn here.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
How are you guys today?
Doing great.
Well, Ashley, the three of us have been having difficult conversations, talks with each other. It's been very painful, so we're glad you're here to help us.
Oh, great. I'll help you if you help me.
Okay.
My difficult conversation was, I have a very good girlfriend. I've known her over 10 years, and, she didn't confide in me at first, but now she's confided in me about her marriage situation. I'm not married. I told her, like she said, well, I know the Bible says divorce is wrong, and my pastor tells me that I don't have enough patience. But my concern was really when she opened up to me and how her husband called her out of her name and called her bad names. Hmm. And he put her out the house one day, and she confined all of this in, you know, with me. So I'm really hurting inside, and I just don't know what to say to her. I give her scripture, we read, she'll call me when he's not there or out, and you know, we go through scriptures, and I just don't know what else I can do.
Okay.
As a friend, I want to be a spiritual friend to her.
Now have you spoken anything of that you'd like her to think of something a different way, or have you been comforting her? What have you been saying to her?
I've been when we read the scriptures, because her pastor and people tell her that divorce is wrong, I told her, well, I know some people that have been divorced, and that was they have a relationship with them and God. And she told me she had thought she had, but whenever she go to a service at church, one minute she's want to get away, and then the next minute she'll hear something that say, oh, you should have patience, maybe you don't have enough patience.
Well, Catherine, all of this seems to be about the end game of divorce or not, but I think that the best thing you can do was to be to point her towards fixing the problem. Like, if he is, for example, mm-hmm. suppose he has an unkind voice, and so then she, you know, we'll send the book so that you can give it to her, but then she learns how to tell him how it makes her feel, and then if that doesn't work, then she begins to set limits, and then if that doesn't work, you bring two or three people, like in Matthew 18 says, and then if that doesn't work, you bring it before the church. You see, when people have somebody who's not changing, and they go to the divorce card, they're missing a lot of plays in the football game. There's a lot they can do. And another one would be a counselor. So you'd be the person that helps her to see, let's solve the problem by escalating the pressure on this man before we think about divorce. Because most of the time, these divorces come because somebody's hurt, discouraged, fed up, helpless, and then they just go, well, the one act I can do is to leave. Well, you'd be the person that says, I'm the problem solver with you. There's a hundred solutions to this problem. I'm going to walk with you through them. God never leaves us and says, just solve it. There's lots of solutions.
And two, you got to realize that if it's gone on for a long time, the man's kind of been trained that it's okay, that nothing's going to happen. And then just to go from that training to walking out, you got to have those other plays in the football game, as you say, John, before it has a chance, really, to see what that marriage could be. All right, Catherine, I'll send you Walking Into Walls. It's my new book. I hope that you'll enjoy that, and I hope it goes well with your friend there. You are listening to New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help, 1-800-229-3000 to join us on the program. We'll take a break and come back right after this for more of New Life Live. Glad you're with us.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And let's go to Lynn from Dallas, Texas. Hello, Lynn. Welcome to New Life.
Hello.
Hi, how can we help you today?
I'm doing okay. First, I wanted to say, I was wondering when you are going to have a New Life weekend for people who are addicted to New Life Live.
Oh, we'd never have that weekend. We depend on you. We need more of you.
All the podcasts and everything.
Yeah, great.
Thank you. My question, I actually was in a study group that went and used this face-to-face book as our study guide for the summer.
Oh, that was the old title, Boundaries Face-to-Face, and then we changed it to Difficult Conversations.
Conversations, yes. So it was really good in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways, I found myself beating myself up a bit. As far as my husband and I are separated right now, and just kind of, well, if I'd had these kind of conversations or this kind of, and I feel like I did have a whole gamut of conversations, but I still just keep trying to pick, okay, what is the one thing, if I'd said it this way, or if I approached it with enough love or connection, or if I didn't, if I would just phrase it right or come up with the right conversation, he would choose to kind of come my direction. And
yeah, but you know what, at the time you did the best you could with what you knew at the time. That's what you got to tell yourself. Now what's the status of you guys now?
We're still separated. We've been separated for 6 months, and he just he has a lot of desire, like he wants to be home with us, but he's not willing to. And I was the one who asked for the separation for some behaviors that needed to stop and then behaviors that wouldn't start. So I just kind of drew that boundary of, well, maybe you need to leave for a while then.
You know what? Desire without willingness is worth, don't you?
Right. Nothing.
Nothing
at all. And that's one thing I find very, very encouraging in what you've said. I think I just...
What's your question for us?
I guess my question was just, I guess that's not the right way to think. There's no other way I could phrase a conversation. If he's just not willing, there's really nothing I can do, or is there something more I need to keep doing? And at what point do I say, I've tried everything I can, and so I'm waiting to file a divorce. I don't want to file. I'm just going to wait and wait and wait and wait, but I don't know how long to wait and just hope that he's going to hit a rock bottom place.
What did your couple's counselor say to you?
My counselor tells me I've tried everything I can.
No, your couple's counselor, the one with both of you in the same room at
right.
the same time.
He won't come anymore. He's seen her twice. We saw one counselor about three times, and he really spun off the handle from there and stopped
okay.
coming home two or three nights a week, and he refuses to go back to any counselor.
Okay, well, that's a danger sign because when a person goes two or three times to a counselor, you know, I work multiple months with a couple. It takes that
right.
long to turn around decades-old ways of thinking. And
right.
so I'd like to encourage you to maybe set some guidelines to say, you know, if you want to come home, let's get back into that counselor and have
okay.
them help us. Because when a couple just sets up an arbitrary separation and there's no
right.
there's no goals or definitions associated with that or growth goals
right.
and nobody to help arbitrate it, it can go on for months and months and months, and it doesn't necessarily solve anybody's problem because nobody's talking. So
right.
I would suggest that you say, let's get back into counseling and talk about this separation. I don't particularly care for it. I called a radio show today. I don't like where we're at. Do you like where we're
right.
at? And I would start there and see if you can get him back in. Maybe this will have gotten his attention.
Yeah.
To say, you know, okay, now let's see what we can do here.
Okay.
Yeah, Lynn, what are the behaviors?
First, it was about a year and a half ago that he told me he was having suicidal thoughts. And so I insisted he go see a psychiatrist. It took about 6 months to get him there. But then once he got there, he wouldn't continue to take the medication that was prescribed. He would kind of miss a day here or there, didn't really want to. I wanted to get into counseling. He would go one or two nights a week out of town to drink with his buddies and stuff. And I would try to say, you know, I feel disconnected and it hurts my feelings. And could you stay home? And he would just get real defensive. And and now that we've been separated, he's been drinking every night. And I've suggested he try AA, you know, just go to an AA meeting. I'm not asking for a lot. Just go try something.
What does he say about this? Does he say, I need to drink as much as I want to and still be home with you and the kids? Is that his stance?
Yeah, he thinks that I should just let him come home and we'll just pretend that everything's okay. Basically just come home and no requirements. He's done with counseling. I've said, go pick anyone. Pick any third-party person and we can sit down together and talk about this. I will go see anyone at any time. You just pick the person. And he won't follow through. He just won't be motivated and do it. And my parents offered to send us to like a marriage intensive, like a 4-day thing by a well-known place. And he's not willing for that. And it's a lot of spiritual struggle for him, too. He's real angry at God and thinks I'm just asking him to become a Jesus freak type person.
Hmm.
So I'm asking too much and he can't change. And this is just who he is. And
okay. So what do you guys think would be maybe the next step for her?
Well, in situations like this, Lynn, I always have somebody with some other person, you know, counselor, wise friend, pastor,
yep.
just somebody who's been there,
yep.
is to do a what I call a leverage audit.
Okay.
A leverage audit is for you to write down every amount of power you have with him, not mean power.
Okay.
But what might you be giving him that he needs or wants? What might you be protecting him from that he does not
okay.
want to see? And the reason he hasn't bailed yet probably is because there's some sort of attachment to you. And so
right.
sometimes you have to leverage those things and say, I love you, but everything you value is going away if you don't adhere to some reasonable things. So it's time for a leverage audit, I think.
Okay.
Well, John, maybe you could go in to that a little bit in more detail, the leverage audit, okay? After the break. All right, we're here at newlife.com, 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. We'll be back.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. We've been talking with Lynn. And John, maybe this leverage audit, kind of a cool concept.
Well, it matters because we matter to each other. Everybody right. in our lives, guys, that we care about has leverage with us. You know, if Myla and Steve said to me, you know, John, you know, your breath is so bad, you know, I'm pulling away from you, I would be really sad and upset, and I'd say, well, what do I need to do to change? And if you told me to brush my teeth more, I probably would do it because you guys matter to me, and the connections we have and the fun we have, that matters. So we were designed to matter to each other so that when someone pulls away the resources they supply, we're supposed to feel like sad or lonely or whatever. And so a leverage audit means for a spouse who has a wandering or, you know, alcoholic spouse or whatever who's out there, to look over the audit and go, goodness gracious, they like the fact that I'm a good parent or that I have spiritual values or that I'm fun or I'm warm or I have lots of grace or I'm a good conversationalist and I go mm-hmm. deep or I have good organization skills, and just kind of put 20 things down, because there's a reason that person hasn't pulled the plug yet, and you've got to find out what that is. And it's just, and it's not being mean at all. It's a wise use of the relationship to say, I just can't rescue you and provide all these things if you're not with us or for us. So if you want these things, I want to give them to you. Love, respect, attention, structure, help.
Yeah.
But they're on hold until you repent.
Steve, I think it's important, and I just told John, I love that phrase, leverage audit. I think that's a cool phrase. He says, I just made it up. I go, well, I like it. I think it's very cool. and we do that, you know. So that's fabulous. But listen, not everybody, even though Jesus was God manifest in the flesh, not everybody listened to him, followed him, and not everybody decided his leverage was enough.
Right.
And we have to realize we will have in life difficult conversations. We will have difficult people, and some people just will not stay with us. And we have to accept that fact, that we can't succeed with every single situation. Yeah. People walk away from Jesus every day. People wave their fist at Jesus every day. And in John 6:66, they walk away from him. And the next verse doesn't say, clip-clop, clip-clop, clip, well, that's what sandals did then, with Jesus running after them.
Right.
He
right.
let them go. Yep. And so, John, you're absolutely right. You have to say, here's what I have to offer, and until you're willing to do these things, they're not yours.
But you're free.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
like Jesus said to his people, they're free to walk away from grace and love.
Walk away.
Mylon, I think the sandal is more flip-flop than clip-clop.
Well, it could be flip-flop, 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 or yeah. clip-clop, clip-clop.
I don't know.
Just
a thought.
Goodness.
The sandals were in then, you know?
Would you guys agree that Israel trip was one of the greatest things that we've ever done in our lives?
Oh, my goodness. We had so much fun together.
It was great.
It was really amazing, and this next year we're going to go and trace the footsteps of Paul in May of 2012, and we're going to go to where Paul was held captive in Philippi, where he preached in Thessalonica. We're going to go to the Acropolis, the Parthenon, Temple of Athena, Mars Hill. We'll go 3 nights on the Mediterranean on a short cruise to Ephesus, Patmos, Santorini. If you are interested, please come and join. Don't miss this one if you missed Israel. And if you went to Israel, come join this one, and we'll do it all over again. It's 1-800-223-3855. 1-800-223-3855. All right, let's go to Jackie from Newark, New Jersey, Sirius Satellite Radio. Hi, Jackie.
Hi. Can you hear me well?
Yes, we can. How are you?
I am good.
Good.
I'm switching from Bluetooth back to speaker because your screen has told me to. Anyway, I am calling today. First of all, how is everyone?
We are good, Jackie.
Well, that's good to know.
Thank you for asking.
You're welcome. I'm a long-time listener. But I am calling today because I need to have a difficult conversation with an ex-boyfriend.
Why?
He hasn't been an ex-boyfriend.
Why do you need to have that conversation with your ex-boyfriend?
Because we actually only dated for 1 month, but we were considering dating for 7 months. And when I finally decided to take him up on his offer to, you know, to start a relationship with him, a month later, he bails out of the relationship. But now he's back. It's not necessarily like he's back physical because it's a long-distance situation, too. But now he's back, and he doesn't want to talk about what happened.
Let me ask you this. Now, you say it was 1 month, but it was supposed to be 7 months. Now, that just is really interesting to me because most people don't start out a relationship and say, let's date for 7 months.
I'm sorry. Can you say it one more time?
Sure. You said you only dated 1 month, but it potentially could have been 7 months. There are not a lot of people that start a dating relationship saying, let's date for 7 months. How did that come about?
Well, he pursued me for 7 months, and for 7 months, I told him I wasn't ready. And he was a wonderful person, so I felt like, okay, let me just try this, because, you know, I've been married and divorced, and I just wasn't too trusting. So he was the first person that made me consider thinking about marriage again and just made me think about blended family, so many things. And then he decides that he doesn't want to be with me anymore. And he doesn't want to discuss. He has reasons for this, but he doesn't want to discuss it now. Like, you know, I told him that I missed him. He doesn't even want to talk about that. You know, he said, why do you have to mess up the conversation with saying that you miss me? And I feel like, I don't have any. I can't do anything. I feel like I'm kind of waiting for him, and I just don't feel free with the new development.
Yeah. Okay, guys, what do you think?
Why do you want this guy?
I mean, I did talk to a counselor about it, and she felt that my self-esteem was low, basically. But he was the first. I don't know.
Let me say it again. Jackie, suppose you and I are out car shopping, and you see this car, and it's just got, like, no wheels, and somebody banged it up with a sledgehammer, and the windshield's cracked, and you say, I really want this. And I say, why do you want this model? So, why do you want this model, Jackie?
I don't. he was the first person I felt that made me feel good in a long time.
But on a character and maturity and something to offer and possible partner for life level, this is like number one?
I don't even know what else to look for at this point. I thought that he was a good potential.
Okay. I just wanted to understand what you liked. You see, here's my question, Jackie, is there's the people that make us feel good because they encouraged us or they showed desire. But you see, that has nothing to do with their character. They built me up and they were around when nobody else was and I feel better around them. It has nothing to say with their ability to love, to know God, to be honest, to be vulnerable, to tell the truth. I haven't heard any stuff in his character. I've heard he makes you feel good. I'm not saying he's the wrong guy. I'm kind of pushing you. What is it about the guy besides he made you feel good? What in his character, in his skin, is worth pursuing? And I might help you pursue him. Follow me?
Yes, right.
So say okay. say one or two things.
To be put on the spot, I'm sorry to say that nothing comes up.
And what does that tell? What does that tell us, Jackie?
You know, it makes me sad.
Well, no, I'm not trying to make you feel sad. What it tells us is that you probably need some time to figure out his character, his who he is as a person, and then figure out is it worth pursuing. Because there's some guys who have great character that you can say, hey, I want to talk about I miss you, and you kind of flipped out on me, and we got to solve this. And they go, you know, I was having a bad day, or I'm commitment phobic, or I was scared. And he's a great guy. But why even have the conversation until you know that he's a good guy for you? You just got some work to do.
Right.
Yeah.
And if he says, I don't want to talk about the past, that tells you something about his character.
Well, that's not a great sign.
No, it's not a good sign.
It's not a rule out, but it's not a great sign. You just need more information here.
Because I have lots of husbands in my office and women who don't want to talk about anything bad. And that's not a great spouse. Mm-hmm. In order to be a great spouse, like you said, we have to get to know each other, and all of me knows all of you, and all of you knows all of me. And that includes bad news.
That includes bad news.
I like to remind folks like Jackie that old saying, a bird in the hand may be much worse than two in the bushes. So go beat the bushes and find the guys that are worthy of you.
That's the best new saying of an old saying I think I've ever heard.
Yeah, that's really good.
Well,
good
don't
reframe.
You think that is what a lot of people do? This is what's in front of me, so this is what I deserve.
I will settle.
What we do is we say, somebody pursued me. That's my only criteria, is somebody pursued me. And, you know, that's why stalkers and serial killers get out there.
Your criteria needs
to be they pursue us.
Yeah, need to be more than a heartbeat for your criteria. We'll be back.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and Mylon Yurkovich. And we're talking about difficult conversations. John, got another tip for us on a difficult conversation?
Well, here's one that I think is just huge. Avoid the statement, "You make me feel."
Okay.
Avoid the statement, "You make me feel." But have you ever had somebody say, "Well, you just really made me feel like bad or judged or whatever"? And what that does is it immediately puts the other person on the defensive because you're ascribing power and control over their feelings. You can't make somebody feel something. We can influence each other. We can, like, you know, we matter to each other. But something in me felt something. And so instead say, "I felt X," or, you know, "this made me feel," or whatever, or "when you're late all the time, I feel frustrated," or "when you yell at me, I feel, you know, alone." That's much better than "you made me feel." Get off the blame game and get into problem solving.
Very good. Okay. All right. Let's go to Jesse from Orlando, Florida. WTLN is the station. Hi, Jesse.
Hi. God bless you all. How are you doing?
Great. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
How could we help?
I got a tough question. This has been going on for the last, May 5th. Found out my wife was having an affair. And we tried a couple of sessions of counseling and Christian counseling, and actually a couple recommended by you all. And she refused to keep going with me. And, you know, she kind of kept me out on a limb. I didn't know if she was going to want to try to restore the marriage or work things out for a while. And a couple weeks later, after I found out, she started back again having an affair with the guy. And now we're at the point where she doesn't want to stop, so I'm proceeding with the divorce. And we have two small children, ages 8 and 6. And we haven't been able to talk to them yet about what's going on. And that's what I'm calling for. I don't know how to exactly have that conversation with them.
Okay, that's a tough
one. I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
How are you doing, Jesse?
I'm holding up, thank God. You know, I've got a good foundation with, you know, my family being Christians and all. And, you know, we've all kind of united, you know, together in this. And I've been just fighting it, you know, with God's help. He's been pulling me through, so I'm definitely learning a lot and drawing strength from him.
Okay.
Well, what do you think, John?
Well, now I missed one part. Who's divorcing whom?
I filed for the divorce.
Well, why is that? I just want to understand your thinking.
Well, a few reasons. It did, you know, at first I didn't know if she really wanted to try to work things out, but we agreed to go to counseling, or I got her to go to counseling. And then she didn't want to go to counseling anymore, and then started the affair again. And I kind of had to draw a line because there was a safety issue with the person calling me repeatedly and threatening me.
The guy she's having an affair with would call you and threaten you?
Yes. He called me 59 times within the first month.
Wow.
That I found out about the affair. Wow. And I actually tried to get an injunction on him, but it didn't work.
The guy that's having the affair is threatening the husband?
I've never heard of that either. Yes, sir.
What was he saying to you?
He's going to come get me. He's going to come take care of me. That he didn't ruin my family. That I ruined my family.
Oh, goodness.
I ran into him in a shopping center a couple weeks ago, and I actually videotaped him and showed it to my wife. He was threatening to beat the fire out of me.
Oh, Jesse, this is horrible.
It is, and it was more of a safety issue. Is why, you know, I try to proceed with the injunction, and why, you know, the divorce and everything. And
your big question is, how do you tell the kids, right? That's what you're thinking.
Because I don't want to do a little lame thing about, well, your mom and I have agreed that it's not good we be married, because that's not what love is about. That's not what the marriage covenant is about. And
why doesn't she divorce you, Jesse?
I honestly don't know. I don't know if it's pride or if it's fear. I don't know what it is.
Then why do you have to divorce?
Because I don't see her, you know, wanting to work things out, and you know, in order to protect myself and the kids, you know, I figured this is a safer situation, especially with the guy being so defiant and aggressive.
Why would divorce make you safer? I'm just want to understand.
Well, for one, then she wouldn't have to be in the house, you know, for one.
She's in the house now?
Well, she comes every day to see the kids, you know. She left the house, and she has her own place.
I think we're confusing two things, Jesse. I think that if this guy's out of control, you need lawyers, guns, and money, and you need somebody, the cops, to come and do something with the guy. He's crazy, whatever that means. But divorce is not going to solve that, Jesse. So I think you need to separate. You certainly, I mean, the Bible teaches that, you know, if somebody's unfaithful, you have a right to divorce, but you don't have to. But don't do it because of more safety. That's just not going to help or hinder one way or the other. What if you just, like, let some time pass and set some really strong limits and just see if she kind of, like, has a miserable life and maybe rethinks things? Is that possible, or are you sort of beyond that?
That's what I was hoping we'd get to. It's 5 months now. Yeah, it's been 5 months now, so I was hoping.
Well, that's what legal separation is,
though. It's been 4.5 months, sorry. But that's what I was hoping for, and that's what I've been praying for. I'm still praying for restoration. You know, the guy, you know,
Well, yeah, but she's got to lose everything, Jesse. What about a legal separation where she loses everything, and then there's even custody stuff where she doesn't have as much access to the kids? Right now, she's got Jesse taking care of kids. She's got kids she loves. She visits the kids every day, and she has this fantasy guy over here, and she's probably pretty immature inside. It's best to have somebody lose everything and rethink before you pull the divorce trigger.
I mean, and the other reason was, I was going to ask you a question too, was, I mean, she told me she doesn't, you know, she wants to go through with this. This is something she wants to do, and, let her do it.
Let her do it.
Mylan, you have some thoughts here?
Well, Jesse, I think John is right in saying, you know, sometimes people act out, and it doesn't necessarily mean this is the best lifetime decision. But the other thing that's also, I tell people, even if there's a divorce, people can always get remarried, you know, but John is saying create something that isn't as final, because he's right. It will not allow you the protection you think. But you asked the question, how do I tell my kids? And I would agree with you that you need to come up with something different. And you said, I don't want to make up a lame non-truth to tell the kids. Mm-hmm. And I think there's merit to that. And I think you can simply say something like, and John and Steve can comment, of that mom has another friend she'd rather spend time with.
Or mom has somebody she'd rather spend
Somebody or another friend she'd rather spend the majority of her time with. She's moved out of the house. She's chosen not to live with us. She has some other friends she would rather spend time with. That's all you're saying.
Yeah.
Now, I don't, you know, they're 6 and 8. That's not very old.
So sad.
So it's about it being age appropriate, but to say something that mom made a choice.
The other piece is, and we understand your concern, Jesse, of like, you don't want to gloss over this, but they need assurance right now. I'm with you, mm-hmm. and mom loves you too. That's why she visits. And so whatever happens between us, you still got a mom and a dad. The big fear, the deepest fear in the core of a child, is I've lost mom and dad.
All right. Okay, well, we are out of time. Jesse, I'm going to send you the book, How to Have That Difficult Conversation. I hope that that's helpful to you. I pray for those children. And, you know, it's just a great reminder of when we as adults do things, often it's the children that pay the price. So do whatever you can for reconciliation today and to build a relationship rather than let it be torn down. If you can help us, we sure would appreciate it. Your gift can come by way of internet at newlife.com or by calling us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEWLIFE. That is the number. We have so many great things going on, our workshops. Check them out at newlife.com or just call and ask someone to explain them to you. They are life-changing. My thanks to Mylan Jurgovich and Dr. John Townsend. We'll see you all here next time on New Life Live. God bless you, and see you then.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries,
P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.